Our special guest today is KDH from, you probably know him from YouTube, and he goes by Keelan, apparently. So we'll just call him KDH, though, because it's easy. It's easy for me to say.
Hold on, I thought you said we were getting Katie Tunstall in. This is not the show you promised me, Bri.
I know, but I was trying to like build you up and get you super excited because I know how much you love those guitar riffs and KT Tunstall stuff.
Bri, right? I may have said things that he doesn't like. He might want to say nasty things about me now. I'm going to be extra good here.
To be honest, though, you probably deserve some of the bashing.
I deserve it all.
You know?
Yeah, no, I am a massive idiot. Nice to meet you, Keelan.
It is
really
good to have you on here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. So, Bri, I'll let you fire off because you're the pro and I'm the stooge.
Dude, I'm just a guy that like started modifying pedals and decided to record a podcast.
I thought we'd moved into diode production. I thought we'd given up on pedals. we were just making germanium diodes. That's it now, right?
We probably need to at this point. So, and we'll get into that in a little bit, because I really want to get your take as well, KDH. Yeah. So let me kind of start from the very beginning. You have a young Keelan who's, you know, in his bedroom and asks his mom or dad, you know, can you give me a guitar for my Christmas present or something, right? Is that kind of how that went? And you listen to the Dokken, right? And you're so rocking out.
Rocking with Dokken. Yeah. I watched the School of Rock movie with Jack Black, and I just thought that was the coolest thing ever.
He's really young, Bri. He's going to make us feel like the most old boomers ever. Like when you said,
I was 45 when that movie came out.
I was going to say.
Well, I'm 24.
Oh. So
that might be an exclusive because I've never said how old I am.
Yeah, you haven't actually. I mean, well, no. I will say this. So. That's terrible. You are a very mature 24-year-old. So I would have never guessed that.
That just means I look old.
No.
It means you sound old. I think.
You have a wisdom.
You look appropriate.
In my day,
I mean, you really do kind of have this wisdom about you that seems like it comes with a little bit of life experience. So you know, maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe you just come across well on YouTube. I don't know. Well, but walk us through like this journey.
Okay. I was a kid. Music was always a big thing. And it was like rock, hard rock. That was what my dad was listening to. Like one of my first memories that I can remember ever was Aerosmith on the radio.
Parenting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he owned a guitar. It's been on the channel a couple of times, like an old like 70s Ibanez Les Paul copy. And when I was like 8, he showed me it and I didn't care. So then he just, okay, fine. You're not interested in that. Then fast forward to me being like 10 or 11, I see the School of Rock movie and I thought it was the coolest thing to ever exist, ever. Jack Black's playing guitar and there's kids playing guitar and I want to do that. So by this stage, I think we put his guitar away, like in the attic, forgot about it. And I wanted an electric guitar, so I saved up. And after Christmas, it was January, went down to like a local market and bought a Washburn starter pack. Brought it home, plugged in a horrible sounding, retrospectively, little practice amp, turned it to 10, and just like picked every string and moved my left hand as fast as I could. I don't need lessons. This is easy. And it went from there. That was guitar.
That feels familiar. I was going to say, this is exactly how we all started, I think. I don't need lessons. I know the pentatonic. I'm fine.
Yeah. I mean, your dad's obviously a musician if he's got a guitar.
Well, not really. Like he knows a couple of chords, but that's it. He doesn't play them.
Wasn't like growing up playing, having bands in the house or nothing like that. Then
not really.
Well, because you're in a band called Walker, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So, what got you to want to do that? Because that's more of a modern metal-y sort of thing, right?
Well, no, not really. If you listen to Walker, it's very much rooted in like the 80s hard rock style.
Okay.
And because that was the music that I was listening to from, like, it's the first thing I can remember. The second earliest memory I can remember is Wasp. I was sitting in the back of the really? Car. I was probably like 5, and it was Tormentor or something like that, where the beginning of the song starts with chains and they're panned hard left, hard right. And I could hear, and I just thought that was, oh, what's going on? As like tiny KDH in the back of a car. And I just thought that was cool. But that's the music I've been listening to for years. And then, like I met the singer and guitar player at a gig. And like we knew each other off like Facebook or whatever. And said, hey, maybe we should just like jam together. We jammed acoustically. And after the first acoustic jam, we should start a band, electric, full on, and that's where Walker started.
Oh wow! So,
what's the significance of the name?
It's his last name. See, because I'm rooted in that style, I was thinking all the bands I like begin with W: Whitesnake, Warrant, Winger, Warlock, Wasp, all of them have...
Wink Floyd. I get it.
All of them have W's. And I just thought, we've got W. We've got a W right here. He didn't want to call it that, but I did.
Oh, that's awesome. So you weren't a product of the 80s stuff, even though you were born after the 80s.
But let's not go into the birth again. He's too young.
No, I mean, so I'm thinking this through because like this messes with my brain a little bit because I grew up in the 80s trying to play that stuff. And like, I love George Lynch, like absolutely love him, but I just cannot play that style very well. And so as a result, like somewhere along the lines, I got pulled into a country band and the finger chicken picking thing just came really super easy to me, but I've always wanted to be a shredder. So it's like when I see people that, you know, just pick it up so easily, like it's just, you know, second nature. I'm always like, how are you able to do this? And so many of us other people just cannot do the thing physically. You know,
well, my practice schedule for like a good year and a half or whatever it was, when I wanted to build up speed, play fast, was, and it's hilarious, but it's true. Everything is 100% true here. I would sit down with my guitar unplugged and I'd take whatever scale or whatever I wanted to do really, really fast. And I'd watch Judge Judy and I would just play it because it was boring enough TV to where it would be slightly more interesting than just playing a scale, but it wasn't interesting enough to where you would forget about the playing. So it was just that nice. There's on actually, the cusp of...
There is a lot to be said for that. When I watch football at the weekend, all the teams I'm not interested in, I will be practicing scales over. Because you can just kind of put like one eye on the football and one eye on the fretboard and it just sinks in because you just sat there doing it all the time. Judge Judy is next level. I'm gonna tell you that much. But
it kind of gave me an idea. So I think I have a new theme for my YouTube channel. This is the video channel Judge that you want to watch.
Oh, no, yes.
No.
What? Yes.
This is
we've
perfect.
We've got to do it.
Perfect video entertainment whenever you want to practice your skills because, you know, it's fairly mediocre every other way, right? Is that a good one?
I
got something
judge,
there?
Judge Wonka okay. or nothing.
I'm looking for an angle.
Let's skip into... So, firstly, you're in Ireland. Have you lived in Ireland all your life?
Yeah.
Same sort of area?
Yeah.
Okay. Brian has literally never met anyone from Ireland. So if he says anything that's mildly racist against the Irish,
I should apologize.
I'll prod him later. Because for him, his reference points are very, very small. Mine aren't much bigger, but his are very slim.
Yeah.
We're not very different from the rest of the world, I suppose. It's not greetings, an alien race. We come in peace.
It's not just rainbows and stuff like that in gold pots and stuff.
Oh, I mean, it rains a lot. That's gotcha. About the only
same. Yeah,
I've never been anywhere over there except for Russia.
Yeah, I was going to say, place. Brian's never left Martinsville.
Yeah, maybe pretty, Florida. Pretty much, it's like, yeah. I know where the Walmart is down off Highway 69. That's about it.
So, I'm glad you told us your age, because you do look really young in some of your earlier videos. And I'm guessing you were like 19 when you started your channel then, were you? Around that sort of time?
Yeah, 19 or 20, something like that.
So what inspired you to start a channel? Yeah. But most interestingly, I think for me and hopefully the listeners, one that didn't just go, oh, look, I've got a cool pedal, I'm going to play it. But actually, I'm going to say you prodded the dark underbelly of the guitar world a little bit. Prodded might be a little bit too strong, but you know what I'm saying.
It makes me sound cooler when you say that.
Okay, well...
The man who prodded the dark underbelly.
I'm available for PR.
I was going to say, Richard, really. Richard, you can hire him for jingle work and voiceover stuff. He can do it.
Pretty reasonable. No, but... Because, look, I think from a British perspective, and again, I don't want to necessarily over-compliment you here, but... I kind of got that Panorama vibe. I was like, this is like those programs that serious people watch, because you do take a very investigative journalist view of everything. And it isn't just about the, you know, saying the bad things to get the clicks. You try to be as balanced as possible. And there is a journalistic, like, if I was a gambling man, which I'm definitely not, that's my wife, gambling woman.
Your wife is a gambling man?
I'm in more trouble already.
Well, you do you.
I would say you did like a journalism degree or something like that, but I could be completely off the rails there.
You know what? You're not the first person to say that, but no, I have no third level education. I have no specific degrees in anything. I didn't set out to do any sort of journalistic things. It just sort of happened.
Interesting.
I started up a YouTube channel because it got to the point that... we've established that I'm of a certain generation, and my generation is that of YouTube started to replace TV.
Yeah, my daughter's generation. My daughter's 21 next year, so I understand how wrong you all are.
That's me perfect. I mean, I'm 50 years old, but that is me. Like, I don't watch anything but YouTube. Like South Park.
So YouTube replaced TV, and the great bit about that is that you could get a constant stream of exactly what you're interested in constantly. Like, you didn't have to wait till whatever time for whatever show to come on. So I was watching everything, and I was watching gear reviews, and I started to notice, and I'm sure we'll mention this a little bit later, I started to notice, you know, on one day, every single thing is the same. It's the same video from everyone. This product, whatever. And it's like, this, I don't like watching this. I don't want to watch this. I can do this better. So I just started. I did a couple reviews of just guitars that I had. And that was fine. And I continue to do reviews of guitars that I have. And then... I mean, I started to get annoyed at some YouTubers that I was watching when I was like, I was, there were different reasons, different people, but I was getting annoyed. And then I put all that together in a script and read it out in front of a camera. And then that kind of took off.
So if I can ask, so I actually thought you were shooting it all from the gut. You know what I mean? Like, that's interesting that you would do a script. So you're putting the information in a script, reading it off of, I guess, like some sort of teleprompting type thing, right?
It was a MacBook in the early days.
So. It was a MacBook. Yeah. I only did that for like one video. It's actually...
Video though, probably, right?
No, actually. My biggest video was a video that I thought would be a complete flop, and it would get 3,000 views, and it's at like at 800,000.
Isn't that all how it works? Yeah. You know, this is a turd. And then you're like, why are people watching this?
No, I just write it. I just type it into my phone, into my notes app. And then I write a paragraph. I read the paragraph. I say the paragraph to the camera. I then look at the phone again, say another paragraph to the camera, and then I just put it all together.
Wow.
That's the current format anyway.
Do you ever like sort of embellish on the paragraph? Like you're reading the paragraph and now that, but you, as you're saying it out loud, maybe you have more
thoughts?
That
sometimes happens. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, but most of the time it's very structured, very very scripted, because it's at least on the controversial videos, or controversial in air quote videos. You know, you can't just say anything. You have to go in prepared. You have to, you know, structure everything.
Like, I'm going to have to tackle one of the most controversial videos straight away.
Go for it.
The Carla Tremolo. All right. Because I had one of those fitted to a 1987 Strat, and you missed the absolute worst thing about those things was their screws were incredibly soft. And so, like 1990 me, I was 15 years old, I was adjusting my Carla Trem and I broke one of the screws on it. You try and find one of those screws in the UK before the internet. Like, it is impossible. So I will never have a Carla Trem as a result of that.
I never have broken a screw on a Tremolo.
I didn't know about that.
Richard, if I can ask. Yeah, what were you tightening it with? Did you have like an Allen wrench and then like a lever on the end of that Allen wrench, like trying to tighten it? Or
isn't that how you're supposed to do it? I was told you put an adapter on a tire iron and that's how you did it.
Exactly. Just use lots of leverage.
In honesty, I think I was just a bit stupid and or lazy, because I never used to really take the nut apart and tune it at the top, and then I just kept using the fine tuners to tune it. And I just pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. And one day it bent and then it broke. And I think that's just because I was a lazy 15-year-old and knew nothing and knew nobody who could tell me you shouldn't be doing it like that.
I can't. Yeah.
So
I can relate, because when I was young, I don't even remember what it was, a Flying V, but it wasn't a Gibson. It was like a Series 10 Flying V or something, which is, I don't know if you remember that brand or not, but older brand. And I didn't know like how tight to tight the lucky nut. So I tightened it so tight it broke all the strings. And, you know, like,
good trick.
You know, like 15-year-old me was like, what the hell's wrong with these strings? And it was actually, you know, just a user error, apparently.
That's also because you're massively buff and you were working out even back then. You're just like, I'm flexing my little finger.
All 165 pounds. It's crazy. It's all that massive muscle I'm carrying.
So, joking aside, though, when did you think, you know what, I am actually going to do something a little different with my videos. I'm going to try and do something and tackle things that people aren't talking about so much. Not just that everyone's doing the same demo, but I want to look at, you know, maybe this doesn't sit quite right with me. Maybe it doesn't sit quite right with other people.
From the beginning, you know?
Really?
I was doing different demos, but I was also scripting like from the beginning for bigger videos. So, I was just voicing my frustration in the early days, and it gets called journalistic, or I've never called myself a journalist or anything. It's merely just been, here's me saying what I think, and then it progressed into people were saying, oh, well, you have to ask for comment. Do I? Oh, okay. So then I started doing that.
So your Orms, if I understand correctly, the Ormsby looks like to be the oldest video. The Future of Fanfrets is your first.
Oh yeah,
video.
Yeah. First ever video.
Gotcha. So then from that, like obviously, like I'd be an idiot to not talk about the Chapman stuff, like that's blown the up classic. The internet, right? Everybody wants to hear you.
No. Not everyone wants to hear. Everyone just wants to know where you got the sunglasses from, because they were some crazy mirror shades, my friend. They weren't just standard aviators.
They were there solely because I was just reading the script off the MacBook. I hadn't worked out how to read like that was pages and pages and pages of stuff. I hadn't worked out how to read, or like now I know how to do it, but then I didn't. I was just a guy. I still am just a guy with a camera. So no one teaches you this stuff. So I just, okay, I'm going to put on these so that way my head can look straight at the camera and my eyes can look at the script.
The old Casey Neistat trick. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But So
that's
yeah,
a good idea.
I mean, let's look at the Rob Chapman video, because that is probably for me the sort of breakout moment when
yes.
you hit most people's radars.
Yeah, yeah, that's like, when, yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know Rob at all. I've seen a lot of Chapman guitars in Anderton's. I go to visit Anderton's. They're one of our dealers, obviously. I get on with the guys there. But I don't know Rob from Adam. And as I came into the kind of guitar industry kind of 5 years ago, I think he was pretty much at his peak, but I wasn't crossing that path. And since then, I haven't seen so much of, you know, the publicity machine, or saw a video about a UFO once. That was pretty interesting. But I guess that was probably, you know, seen almost as like a giant slaying video in a way for you. Not by you, but by others, I'm saying.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because that video came out of frustration. As I mentioned, YouTube replaced TV for me, and one of the TV stations was Rob Chapman. That was one of the very early YouTube channels that was doing stuff. And it was progressively doing things that were frustrating me more and more and more. And I just decided to say that, compile all the things that it was annoying, and I released that video. And that video wouldn't have... wouldn't have done anything. I think it got like 8,000 views at the time. And now that for me at the time was, oh, wow, this is a huge video.
Yeah.
But it got 8,000 views. And then another YouTuber covered it, like did a video, like kind of a reaction to it.
Like a reaction of your video covering yeah. Chapman. Gotcha.
And then that video got like 30,000 views. And then Rob himself did a response video that has been since deleted. Yeah. He did a video, and then suddenly the video shot up and spiked and however many, I don't know, 100,000 or whatever. It made it to become a much bigger thing than it would have ever been on its own.
He literally said, here's a bunch of people to watch your videos now. You're welcome.
Essentially, that's what happened.
Unintentionally, right? But I mean, at the end of the day, like the people that watched your video, and then went to see what else you had on your channel and said, I want to subscribe to this guy.
Well, that's not how it worked,
really?
Actually. At the time, what happened was, and this was sort of the more controversy than the actual video itself. That video that I put out, if you look back at it, there's no point that you'd go, oh, that's a really serious point. That's the career killer. It's not the Giant Slayer video that it seems to have gained this reputation for, because that's actually not the video that did it. So I released that video. He does his response. In that response, he says, I can't even remember what it is, because it's been deleted
recall. I just remember it coming out.
But after that, I noticed one thing in particular. I was getting hundreds of comments and everything, and they weren't exactly friendly, as you would expect, right? Some of them were particularly, you know, like, if I ever see you, I'm going to kill you, so on and so forth.
Now, I'm sorry for writing that. I take that back.
Richard, yeah.
I was young and impressionable.
At the time, like I was, like you could tell me that if you see me, you're going to kill me now. And it's, oh, okay, see you then. But at the time, that was scary, because that never happened, and especially when like 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 of those are happening all at the same time.
Especially, I think when you contextualize it with your age, because honestly, I hadn't pegged an age for you until you said, I knew you were a younger guy. It's obvious, but you know, when I think. Yeah, if I was 20 and I had like random people on the internet sending me like threatening messages, that would really screw with my head, no doubt.
So that happens, and at the time, the scariest one for me was, it was really scary, because someone just wrote a comment on my video, and it was something like. It was. I can't even remember. I'm not going to paraphrase it, but it was accusing me of statutory rape and all sorts of things. Yeah, it was and that was like, so I even like went to a police station to like say, hey, like these are false allegations. What do I do? You know, because it was scary. Because you know, how do you prove something that doesn't happen?
Right.
But what was scarier was that comment came out, and minutes later, Rob Chapman was responding underneath it.
Oh. Yeah.
And that was really, really scary. So I privated the video, and right, that my YouTube's over for me. I'm done. I'm gonna disappear. I'm finished.
Right.
And I got a message from another YouTuber called Dovida.
Yeah, we know Dovida.
Oh, we know that fellow.
Yeah.
he said, "Hey, I saw your video. I thought it was really good. Where is it?" And I explained, "Well, did this happen?" And he said, "Send me the screenshots. Send me everything. Tell me about it." And I did. And he made a video talking about it, showcasing that element. And that bit was the Giant Slayer video. That was the one that kind of changed everything. That got more views than the original video did.
Huh.
I actually did not know this part, but I seem to remember when we spoke to him mentioning it. I mean, Dovidas is probably one of the most unique forces of nature in our industry at the moment. Like, he basically is a modern day Thor, and he knows it. And he goes around posing
combined with
as if
Fabio,
he
was, right?
Right.
He's not only handsome, he's big and muscular.
But he's mad talented and he's super intelligent. I mean, to be able to, you know, translate everything he's done and move to a different country and become the star he has, you know, he's a great guy and really, really funny. So having someone like him back you up is actually, that is a pretty big endorsement, because he plays it very fair down the line. He's not, you know, he's not biased. We send him gear, but he will only play it if it's like good. We're not like, we've never got him to try and do anything for us. If he does it, it's just off his own back. So that's really interesting. I didn't know that. So how did it play out beyond that then, after that happened?
So David asked, and he also got one of his friends, Become the Knight, to also make a video.
Yeah, I know him as well.
And so those videos went out on the same day, and the tide turned, because it showcased, you know, it showcased everything. And then Dovidas was begging me, please put up the video back up, the video that you made, make it public again. So I did. And then the tide turned, there was support then again for the video, but yeah, it was quite a roller coaster. When I initially put it out, there was support for it. Then the Chapman video came out, death threats, and then the Dovidas video, support again.
What can we learn from this about our most recent release?
We're
in the death threat stage right now.
Right, I can relate to that. Not only with the germanium diode situation of last 2 weeks, but also there was a video I did that was basically like, all right, there's so little difference between the TS9 and TS808. You're not going to hear the difference, because mathematically it's basically the same damn thing except the output impedance. Anyways, the amount of people that got violently frustrated with me was just staggering. I'm like, guys, we're talking about resistors. Like, we're arguing in terms of like wanting to harm someone over resistor values. This is ridiculous.
And I think that's the really important context to all of this. Ultimately, business is serious. Nobody wants, you know, threats made against them. But we're talking about toys. We're talking about pedals. We're talking about guitars. Yeah, some people make a living out of it, but most people do it for pleasure. So it's not like we're talking about inheritance tax rates for the wealthy or something that might have an effect on future generations. We're talking about toys. And as far as Brian and I go, the reason we get on well in business and enjoy this, we just want to make cool toys and be honest about that. We don't want to try and, you know, pull the wool over people. So that said, the new Germanium Tumnus Deluxe has extra unicorn germanium inside it. I guarantee it 100%.
We captured so many unicorns to make that pedal.
I mean, I've got to say, I have on this show said things that weren't entirely kind about your output. And it came from a place of love, because you were making videos about something I was like, Well, surely everyone knows that. And this guy's just like trying to be controversial. But I think in a world podcasting exclusive, well, for this show anyway, I'm going to have to say, I feel bad for actually criticizing you because I hadn't realized how much other people had already done it. I didn't need to do it. My job was already done. But it's a tough role for you to have on because there's no doubt you are now seen pretty much as like, you know, that guy who makes the divisive videos. I think that's fair to say. Yeah. No one's going to argue.
Surely you go to the guitar stores and people know you.
Sometimes. Like, yeah. But it happens sometimes. Like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen at a guitar store. It's going to happen at NAMM.
Right.
But, you know, it's interesting because I've talked to other people and no one gets this right. But I always get accused of, you just make negative videos, right? And that's fair to say, I do make negative videos. But I've looked at it. It's about a 50-50 split. There are just as many positive videos as there are negative ones. But no one remembers the positive ones.
Right. I can say people, the ones that pop are the ones that probably are a little more controversial, which probably explains more about what people want to view more than anything else.
There's like, I just upload whatever I want. And it might be a this is cool today video, or it might be this is not cool today video. It's up to you to watch it. And I always find it funny that the angry people who are angry about it being negative are only ever commenting on the negative videos. It's kind of like going to Disneyland and being angry if you see Mickey Mouse, you know? It's what are you expecting? Like, I don't pretend like that this video is a positive one if it isn't.
Right.
No, and one of your recent videos looked at the $2,000 Chinese guitars. I actually found the video more entertaining from a historical viewpoint because I didn't realize the point about why Marshall existed, you know, and why Burns existed. I knew that there was some post-war manufacturing stuff, but I didn't really understand it. So I think there is also an opportunity to genuinely educate under the banner of, I'm going to say clickbait, because me and Brian are also exponents of clickbait. You know, if we've learned from hard experience, if we put a video out that says, this is a fantastic pedal, like three people watch it. And if we put a video out saying, you're not going to believe the one thing that this pedal can do for your weight loss, then 3 million people are going to see it. You know, so we use clickbait.
4 billion like, comments.
Right. It's like, I haven't lost anything. But, you know, we live in that world. We accept that actually clickbait brings you to the video, but the content is what keeps you there. And if you weren't making good content, you wouldn't be hitting. I mean, I think your Anderton's video was on like 300,000 last time I looked. I haven't looked recently.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So, you know, you're getting some serious numbers. And I think your Nauticlon video, I think that got like 80,000 within like 2 weeks of release or something. I was like, you know, people are watching you. So it's both a blessing and a curse, I think.
Yeah, well, I just say what I think. And you don't have to agree with me all the time. In fact, it would be really weird if you did. I would much prefer you to say, but some people take it like too far, you know, like it's, and it's because I've been doing this for what, 4 years now. I've seen the patterns happen. And what happens is I'll come out with a video and it might be a controversial one. And it'll be saying, this is bad. And someone will agree with that. Yes, I'm finally glad someone is saying this. Fantastic video, liked and subscribed. And I'll say something else that's controversial. Oh, I don't like this, whatever. And they'll agree with it. Until it reaches the point that I say something that they disagree with. These guitars have been known to have bad, poor quality. And they bought one and it didn't. And it just blows their mind that I've said something that they don't agree with. And then they get angry about it, unsubscribed, and then every other video is them telling me how wrong I am, no matter what it is. Yeah. And then eventually, because I've seen it happen, it comes in circles, eventually I just gain them back a little bit, and then they're telling me that I've subscribed, great videos. Right. So it's just a circle. But I would much rather you disagree and just I disagree with this point. You know, like a normal person, and not have a vendetta.
I hope you die. How dare you make a pedal with limited germanium diodes? It's all your fault why America is so terrible, Wampler.
I mean, that bit is partially true. The other bit, maybe not so much, but... I agree. We need more... We need more differences of views, but it should all be conducted in a civilized or comedic manner at the very least. You know, like I say, we've definitely had a couple of pops at you. Actually, I say we.
Me.
But I've always tried to do them with humor because ultimately, like I say, we're talking about toys here.
Right. I mean, this is supposed to be fun. That's how we always look at it. This is supposed to be fun.
It's supposed to be fun. But both Brian and me have been on the other end and had, you know, fairly seriously nasty emails sent to us or people writing comments, you know, that really, you know, keep you awake at night. And that part of it all absolutely annoys the hell out of me because, like I say, we're talking about toys. But how do you cope with that now? Is it now just water off a duck's back to you? Are you hardened to it? Have you started training legally?
It was trial by fire, I suppose. The Chapman thing was all I needed.
Right.
Because it like that. You can't get worse than that. So, you can pretty much say anything. Hmm. And it doesn't really matter. I'm certainly not going to lose any sleep. I'm hardened by the internet.
It's a learning curve, but it happens to us all.
I'm curious, like, is this like your full-time gig now, or do you do something else and the videos are just...
Yeah, this is the full-time thing.
Is it good for you, man? That's awesome.
It's better than working in a bakery.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I mean, it depends which bakery. 100% better than working in a Greggs. That's a terrible thing. But I don't know. In Ireland, you've probably got some pretty good, like, family bakers left. Greggs probably hasn't taken everything over yet, so...
No, we don't have Greggs. No. Oh. But like, this is like a factory bakery, you know, like trays and trays and trays. Greggs. Cakes are heavier than pedal boards. You stack enough up, they're heavier than pedal boards.
This is very,
and,
very
and,
true.
And, you know, they don't sound as good either, you know.
No.
Really. But they taste better. Well, so how are you kind of coming into topics, like some of them you can't avoid, right? Like,
I mean, the germanium tumnus, the germanium tumnus, they're made for you, clearly.
But other stuff that's done, like, for example, I'm trying to look at, like, the quad cortex is in trouble. That just popped up. That wasn't necessarily something that was popping, but the video did well. People loved it. It was great content. How are you coming about your topics? Are you doing specific research on what's going on in the industry, or?
I'd like to think I'm very involved in knowing what's happening and keeping an eye on things. So if someone releases a product today, I'll keep an eye on it. If someone announces a lawsuit today, I'm definitely keeping an eye on it. I look at these forums for review purposes. I look at videos for review purposes. Try and get as much information about something as I possibly can. Like, I'm trying to think, the quad cortex thing. Oh yeah, the quad cortex thing was something that I had known about and I'd been following since January of 2020. So I knew about it and I was looking at it and decided to talk about it 3 years later or whatever it was.
Right. Hmm. So how long does it take you to, you're coming up with the idea. You got to do some research on it, right? So that's probably a couple, maybe a day, maybe?
No, longer.
Is it really?
Like for videos, I'd probably do a video a week if that, for some of the, like I can do videos that are much less involved. I can do like a tier list with my bandmate, and we can just, that guitar is ugly, and that takes 40 minutes, and it's done.
And that's just like hanging out with a buddy, though, and with the camera on there, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's much easier. Whereas, I'd say gear reviews actually take the longest, because I like to spend time with it. And I don't do them often because I can't do them with the time I'd like to spend with them.
Gear reviews are hard work. For like the best of our demo artists, they will take 4 to 5 days to make a good gear review. And it will look like it's taken them, you know, it's just one take. But actually, it's a week's worth of really hard work to do a good gear review. Some people just are able to sit there and dial it in. But yeah, no, it's not an easy way to earn money. It's actually a lot of work.
Yeah, like you've got, when you click on a video, you probably just think of the video, but you're not thinking of, in my case, I script everything. So there's the hours spent scripting every word that I'm saying and planning out how is the video going to work? How am I going to open it? How am I going to end it? Then there's the record. If like I'm recording guitar, there's the miking up, there's the dialing in, there's recording it. There's recording, there's editing. Then there's the thumbnail. Like you have to make your thumbnail. If you don't do that, you could have the best video ever.
You have to make your thumbnail, Brian.
Oh, that's easy. There's this service called DALL-E that you just.
No, I think it's called Ollie, and I think you just text him and go, Richard, I need a thumbnail. I know it's midnight.
You've got 10 minutes.
This is actually completely accurate. No, it is a lot of work. There's no doubt that whatever you do, if you're producing content on YouTube, it soon becomes a real job, which people just don't get. They're like, oh, I can just Twitch myself or whatever the crazy kids are doing. Doesn't work like that. It's proper work.
But then there's also like factoring in on how long it takes is like, for example, I have a story now. I did the thing, you have to ask for comment. Well, I did on Monday. It's now towards the end of the day on Wednesday. I'm going to have to put this down as a reach out for comment and didn't hear anything back by Friday, you know? So there's those delays that are added in. I can't just pump something out.
So, I mean, that does actually segue nicely onto a sort of mini point I had. You've already said you've had no third level education, so already you fit in well with us because we are, as I say, a bunch of complete idiots. But, you know, have you started looking into any kind of, you know, self-training for law or anything like that? Because some of your videos have got... I've worked in the corporate finance world before, and I've dealt with, like, some of the country's, like, most heinous lawyers, and some of your ways of working wouldn't have been out of place in their practices. So I'm like, he's got to have got some sort of...
That's
a backhanded compliment. That is a backhanded compliment. But, like, you are very careful not to do something unreasonable. So if you're just picking that up by reading the internet, then that is the power of the internet. But that bit surprises me. Is that all just your gut instinct?
Yeah. I've never looked up how to do any of it.
Really?
What did your dad do for a living? Was he a barrister? Is your dad a barrister and was your mum in the police force?
No.
Okay, all right. I mean, that is surprising.
That's actually, I'm impressed, man, because for that just to come natural, that's not a natural thing that comes to people.
The way I think about it is, and I do it with any controversial video, when I'm scripting it, scripting takes the longest point. Like scripting can legitimately take months. That's that for the big ones, big ones that I haven't even released yet that I started last year. Those ones are the ones that I know no matter what I say, the death threats will come back. But those can take a very long time because the way I view it is if I was trying to sue me, how would I do it? What did he say there? Oh, no, can't say that. What did he say there? Nothing. So my videos come out to where I feel like I could, I would be comfortable defending myself in any court for any video.
That's smart.
That I've done. Like, it's kind of just, it's just advanced chess, I suppose. You're predicting the other side's moves and you're eliminating their ability to do that before they even can.
Chess, Brian, is a game played with counters. It's a little like that beer pong game you're used to playing.
Is it like where two people have cards and the person with the highest card wins? Is it like that?
Exactly the same.
Okay,
exactly.
I just wondered. Yeah, that's my favorite game.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you needed a bit of a... I could see your eyes glazing over when he said chess. I was like, I better help him out here.
I was Googling what chess is, yeah. No, I mean, so you did a... I just saw a video yesterday about TikTok that you did. And oh, yeah. I was like... It was right on the money with something I struggle with. So there's parts... There's a very limited amount of information I like on TikTok. That has nothing to do with guitar. In fact, that's the thing I hate about TikTok is because... Like, I see people try to do demos, and I got a lot of hate for this. I see people try to do like the pedal demo on TikTok. It just doesn't work. Like, it's just, I mean, you get a couple hundred views. No one really is looking for that. And so I'm trying to figure out, well, what kind of information can I put on TikTok that one, people are going to watch, and that, you know, is not just some hokey thing where I'm setting a guitar on fire and trying to get a bunch of views, you know?
Yeah, I'd say TikTok is more suited for your content, Brian. I'd say it's more suited for that one particular guitar flip that you did.
Yeah, I just need to do that with every guitar.
That's the way to go TikTok viral.
Okay, let me just write this down. Step one.
I've just avoided the TikTok world entirely. I've left that to my daughter's generation. I'm like, no, I it's too far for me. It's just like, I could cope with Instagram, I could cope with Facebook, but TikTok, no. But
you got to go into the UFO section, my man. That's where the fun is.
Well, yeah, maybe. I'm not going to lie. That I've got this is a complete tangent. I've got an acquaintance. He's a school friend. He believes that 200 years ago, there was an X Factor event where the previous generation that lived on this planet were wiped out by this huge electrical storm. And he walks around his hometown pointing out bricks that are melted. I'm like... They're not melted, dude. They've just aged over 200 years. It's like, they've melted.
That's a different X Factor than what I thought. I thought Simon Cowell was doing
again,
that.
Again, he uses the term X Factor in a way that made me think, yeah, I was expecting a panel of judges here, but he's like, no, like there was an electrical storm and it melted all of these ancient buildings and we lost the secrets of free energy. And I'm like, I'm telling you, you have not lost the secrets of free energy. You've lost the secret of sanity. But yeah, you can go down some weird rabbit holes on social media. He says it's the theory of meltology. I'm like, the only thing that's melted at the moment are your brain cells.
Meltology? Is that a thing?
Meltology? Yeah, apparently so. Bricks melt at like 1500 degrees centigrade. It's like, that's not happening anytime soon, my friend. But anyway, it takes all sorts. I digress, Bri. But that's why I stay off TikTok, because I would just digress. So look, let's talk about some recent controversy on our front then. Because I one of the reasons, like, again, why we thought engaging with everybody is always a good thing, but someone like yourself who probably, you know, traditionally we would have thought might be divisive, might not be, is we're always trying to do better. We are genuinely, Brian and I are trying to do things better. And we released this pedal. We thought we'd anticipated demand. Turns out we didn't. And as I said, we are the world's worst pedal builders for not knowing how many everybody wanted to buy off us.
Under anticipated how much people wanted a Klon type pedal still.
Right. You wait till they hear about our tube screamer that we're bringing out, Bri.
Oh man, it's fancy.
But I wanted to one look at that with you, but also generally, you know, do you think that the guitar and the music industry is improving on an ethical basis? Do you think you are seeing less shady practices than when you sort of maybe started out, or is it just the same and just coated differently?
I think I'll be employed for life if I'm just looking at shady practices in the music industry. So I don't Good think answer. I don't think it's changing really, but I think maybe people are hiding it better. I don't know, but like the music industry has had a history since its beginning of just being not the nicest place. You know, you've got the record deals that are just screw a band over or whatever, and that's been from the beginning. But I suppose when it comes to like ethics in the guitar world. It's hard to talk about because, you know, we're expecting that the culturally ethics are different. It's a very wide world. And what I think is right might not be what you think is right if you're in a completely different place with completely different thoughts about things, you know? So it's hard to talk about, like, because it's so vast. But, I mean, when it comes to pedals, I think... The pedal industry is kind of different to everything else. I think, like, you guys are in the pedal industry, but, like, if a guitar company came out with... That's also weird, right? If PRS come out with a Silver Sky, it's a Strat copy. But that's okay. But if someone else came out with a Strat copy, it would be, how dare they come out with a Strat copy? They're ripping off Fender. With the pedal industry, it's a little bit different because, you know, everybody's got a Klon, everybody's got a Tube Screamer, a Blues Breaker. You know, there's...
Yeah, people specifically kind of allowed for a clone. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. So that's allowed, but it depends on how you do it, I suppose, because, like, Behringer are known for their clones, but the synth players hate them for it. Whereas the guitar players are fine with it. It's a very, very strange.
It is very strange. I mean, look, JHS, we can all accept, have done an immense job of marketing themselves over the last 5 years, because 5 years ago, everyone was just like, don't they just make clones? And the reality is they kind of still do just make clones. There's Josh's spin on them, but it's not... That's not really what people want. We've talked about this before. Pedals are kind of like Pokemon cards to people. They want to collect different variants. So they actually don't care if they're clones. And as long as you're, I hate to use the word in this context, but as long as you're transparent about what you're basing it on, then yeah. I don't see there being a real problem. So, you know, the fact that people will be like, and I'll just pick any random Josh pedal, the Angry Charlie, that's basically, sorry, the Morning Glory, that's basically a Blues Breaker, isn't it?
The Blues Breaker circuit.
Yeah. Right. And we've got the Pantheon, it's basically a Blues Breaker. And of course, there's the Prince of Tone and there's the King of Tone. Blues Breaker times two. You know, all of these pedals can still exist because they're the same circuit, the same clipping at the end of the day, but no one's hiding what they're based on. So I think the customer feels, yeah, fine, I can make my choice. I think where I have an issue is like you say, Keenan, is where someone, you know, this is a unique circuit, this is special, and it's not. It's just
right.
One resistor value change. I'm Brian Wambler.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what comes to my mind is I remember seeing, I haven't seen this recently, but a few years ago, there was a company that was making Marshall sounding pedals, and it was just a Tube Screamer, like stock Tube Screamer. And I was like, come on, like, at least put a little effort into it. If you're going to try to make it, if you're going to make something that sounds like a Marshall, it is not a Tube Screamer, you know?
But so, then we come to Demon FX, which is the absolute sharpest end of the market.
Oof.
That is, I'm not just going to copy your circuit. I'm going to copy everything, right down to the layout, the looks and everything. Have you done a video on them yet? Or have I just ruined one of your future videos? I apologize if the latter is true.
I haven't talked about them. It's because that's also another interesting topic because of the pedal thing. The immediate response is, yeah, but what are they like? I can completely see the problem though, because it's so you paid someone to design your pedal's visuals and they've just copied that.
Yeah.
So then it's
the McDowell's, you know, McDonald's coming to America thing, you know? It's they've got the Big Mac, we've got the... I forget what it was in coming to America. But, you know, it's so close, you know exactly what it is. But then they're ripping off everything, including the look.
Your example is from a movie in 1982, Papaw. Jeez.
I think it was 1990, but yeah. I realized the minute I said it, I was like... He was not even born when this film came out.
That's a fantastic movie.
It's one of the greatest, like, the greatest line is delivered on a balcony in Queens in that film. But it is that, you know, it is that whole, like, ripping people off, and I'm not suggesting they're just ripping people off, but actually profiteering on someone's marketing is shady, in my opinion. It's not something I'd like to get into. But then they sell them very cheap to people who can't afford them. And there's a bit of me that goes, there's a little bit of Robin Hood in that. And I think, you know, being from the British Isles, we grow up with the sort of Robin Hood in us. We all think, you know, if it's helping poorer folk. But then I've also heard, and I don't own any of the pedals, so I've never tried any, but I've also heard the quality isn't the same. Like the sound isn't actually as good with some of them. And that sucks. Because if you are going to rip someone off, do it well.
Well, I mean, you know, you have like the Friedman, what are they? They have the Friedman pedal, the...
Friedman spelled with two E's. Well, it reminds me of that Monty Python.
Then they come out with the Fredman, whatever it was. And it's like, if you're going to rip it off, like you said, Richard, at least do it properly. Like, do a good job.
Right.
But I mean, ultimately, brands like us, and we had this problem with the Triple Rec a while back. Like, so there's companies that just basically take your trademark and say, this is a genuine Wampler pedal. And it's not, but then you get the customers that buy that have problems with it, that want us to fix it. And I'm like, I'm not going to fix a counterfeit pedal. It's just not going to happen. You know, and I'm sorry, but I can't do that. So it creates real problems on the backside of stuff, you know, not just like, oh, well, we don't sell as many triple wrecks.
Yeah, well, when you're talking about like proper counterfeit stuff, because like the argument could be made for the Demon Effects thing that like it's one step above everybody painting their Tube Screamer clone green, which kind of everybody does.
Yeah, good point.
There's a reason for that. It's based off, you're visually showcasing what the pedal is based off. Mm-hmm. So you could argue that. The Friedman thing, though, is probably pushing it a bit too far in my eyes, but a black and gold pedal probably wouldn't be. But if you're completely counterfeiting a pedal, then it's that's completely...
Yeah,
well, I mean, it's illegal.
That is, and that is, unfortunately, that does happen a lot, but it happens a lot in countries that just don't have a copyright law that will protect any of the manufacturers. I mean, there are like various random kind of South American Wampler clones out there that we can do nothing about, because the minute we shut them down, they open straight back up and sell three more and then, you know, rinse and repeat. But I feel that the Demon Effects stuff is kind of treading in between, you know, the territory of a normal pedal manufacturer and those guys. And it's a little bit, you know, I don't know. I'd say the word smelly, but I can't smell anything at the moment thanks to the COVID. So, not the best.
Speaking of smelly, Richard, we're at almost an hour. I've got one more question I wanted to ask you real quick, and then we're gonna move to Patreon. If you're welcome to join us for Patreon, you don't have to, but we'd love to have you if you want to hang out. So, my last question. You personally, based on what you've seen so far, and I know you've done tons of research over the past few years, where do you feel like in your gut, what is the guitar market and the guitar pedal market, guitar pedals and amps, I guess I should say, what does that market look like in 10 years from now to you?
Everybody's going to use combos.
Combo,
everybody.
Like combo digital just units combo amps. Or amps?
Just, I'd say amps, combo amps.
Interesting.
I mean, like,
so you don't see the digital modeling taking guitar amps out of the equation then?
Not completely. I think it's going to get more popular, but you have to use in-ears if you're gigging with that. I think every gigging guitar player is going to be using like Boss Katana 50 watt sized something from, it doesn't matter what amp brand, Orange, Marshall,
right.
Ingle, whatever. It's all going to be a combo, no matter what genre it is. It's going to be a 1x12.
See, that's really interesting, because certainly with some of the companies in the same stable, the Booty Camps stable, we've released some high-end combos and heads, and the combos have just not been selling anywhere near as well as the heads. And every time I ask people for combos, they're like, you want the head? I'm like, really? And not from our company, but from other companies. They're like, you want, trust me. And I'm like, do I actually... I really like combos, but that is a very interesting observation, because we've definitely seen bigger, like, you know, 4x12 rigs diminish in sales, especially during the pandemic. People are like, I'm playing at home, I don't need it. But we're kind of seeing, you know, like, you're familiar with the Friedman IRX,
yeah.
I mean, that sold great numbers and is actually a really, really good product. I've got one, and the reason I've got one is I was sent one to test, and then I just rung up our boss and I was like, I'm not sending it back. It's so good. Because it's like having a Marshall amp in your headphones or in your DAW perfectly. So I think there's a lot of room for that too, but I hadn't really thought about the combo element, Bri. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's based entirely off, like I frequent guitar shops regularly just because I like going there and, you know, oh, what have you got? Oh, they've got these guitars, I want to play them. And there's three main ones where I am located, and not one of them, I know, one of them has a half stack. That's it. Everywhere else, like the shop will be covered with combos. That's what they sell here, because combos, maybe a couple of lunchbox heads, but 4x12s, you're not getting that on a bus or a train.
Mm-hmm.
You could get a 1x12 combo on.
Right.
They're really realistically all you need to play a gig, because stages are getting quieter and quieter. So I'd say in 10 years time, the combo amp is going to be the thing. And if you want to, you know, go to a studio or whatever, there's a 4x12. You can just plug that into your 4x12, and you've got essentially a head and a 4x12. You've got a head with an extra option.
Right,
is all it is. And I think, because I'm also looking at like the second hand market here, people can't get rid of their Marshall heads. They're big, heavy monsters that they're selling for like 1/5 of the price that they paid for them, and no one's buying them. So
yeah, people are paying five times retail for a Tumnus pedal that has two different diodes in it, different knobs,
the
and
the mini
finish.
Tumnus. It's the mini. That's why. If it was the full size, it wouldn't happen. Too big, too heavy.
Well, yeah. Well, we're going to see, because we're going to release that. I mean, I think, you know, with the Tumnus is a great example, because, you know, the changes mechanically are different, but it just looks different. It feels different. It's a collector's piece, so I get it. Like, pay what you want for them. It's not our problem. And we didn't make the market. But my eBay user... No, I'm joking.
I'd like to announce a surplus of stock on my eBay. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I think, as you say, we've accidentally overrun here.
Yeah, we went over a little bit. Sorry about that.
That's a good sign. It means we enjoyed ourselves.
So let me...
Or didn't incriminate ourselves, either or.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I want to make sure everyone can find you at all the appropriate places. So
just type in KDH guitar into whatever browser you may use, and my face will show up somewhere.
And so mainly YouTube. You do have an Instagram, I believe, right?
Yes, if you want to see pictures of my cats cuddling guitars, you can go to that.
Oh, no TikTok channel, though, I don't think, right?
Two cats. No, I hate TikTok.
No TikTok channel, so don't worry about that, but... Hey, thanks for joining us. It's been great hanging out with you. You know, love to have you back on again sometime, for sure.
Thank you.
And
it was an interesting conversation, that's for sure.
Cheers, Keelan.
I want to give a big, huge shout out to our executive producers, Bill Bays, Justin Burke, David Tindall, Knight Haas, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Weaver in the band Reduced to Rust, Eric Wilson, Vidar Frostad, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, Patrice Fournays, Dylan Talks Tone, Scientific Uppercut, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, Tom Kelly, Jake Young from the Man the Helm podcast, Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, El Jiborito, I think I said that right, Nick Spaniel, Sasha Sir, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Harry Post, Grumpy Mike, Harvey Pedals, Allison Carroll, Patrick Zeller, Bum Laser, Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, Philip Carter of the 40 Watt Podcast, Mark Bauman, and Christopher Logan. Thanks so much. Really appreciate everyone. Thanks for listening to the Chasing Dome Podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com, and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com, and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, Guitar Effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/chasingtonepodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.